Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Joe. Guys, it has been, as always, a pleasure and an honor working with you both all season long and with Tom Young. Have a wonderful off season. We'll see you in Dunedin in February. It has been it's been a blast. And again, amazing that we're sitting here at the ballpark on October 19th, back-to-back American League Championship Series. Unfortunately, neither one of them went the Blue Jays' way. They lose 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians. And Cleveland wins it 4-1. Hank Aaron, the honorary American League president, is presenting the tribe with their... Frank Robinson. Wow. Frank Robinson, who played for them and managed them and did all kinds of things, presenting the American League Championship trophy to the owners. And soon, I'm sure, the American League Championship Series MVP will be handed to Andrew Miller. We're going to talk to you, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. If you're long distance, 416-870-0590. If you're not, and we'll talk about a tough one. The Blue Jays lose, they get shut out. They've been shut out. They were shut out twice in the series. We've used past tense now. The season is over. Shut out in the opener, shut out in the finale. Their offense simply did not show up. 8 runs in 5 games, and that's what makes this thing hurt more. Because you felt like this Cleveland team, with its depleted pitching staff, with basically 2 bullpen games out of 5, there was no way this Blue Jays offense wasn't going to get to them. The Jays scored 26 runs in their 4 playoff games against Baltimore and Texas, in winning the wild card game and sweeping the Rangers. And I even have a hard time saying that the offense didn't show up. I mean, 8 runs in 5 games is 8 runs in 5 games. It's terrible. But Corey Kluber pitched really well in the opener. Josh Tolman pitched really well in game 2. At some point in time, though, they've got to get some hits. And that's what makes this so difficult to swallow. I don't expect anybody to call in to Blue Jays Talk today to say what a wonderful year it was, even though it was. 94 wins overall, another trip to the ALCS, a fantastic wild card win, an incredible sweep of the Texas Rangers. But it's hard to feel that right now, because I think we all feel like the World Series was, I hate to say easily within the grasp of this team. All they had to do was hit a little bit. And instead, unfortunately, we saw the offense that we saw in April, and we saw the offense that we saw in September, and this very, very good group of hitters did not get the job done. For all the talk about the Indians' bullpen and the dominance and the great bullpen, I mean, it was a great bullpen. There's no question it was a great bullpen, and Andrew Miller set a record, and he's going to be the ALCS MVP and all that stuff. The Blue Jays' bullpen didn't give up a single run in this series, not one. But the Blue Jays only had a lead in one game. Only yesterday. It was the only game in which at any point they had the lead. And it just doesn't work. They only gave up 12 runs in this entire series. 12 runs in 5 games. A phenomenal job by the Blue Jays pitching. And it is incredible that you can have an ERA of 2.40, and actually was lower than that because all the runs weren't earned, but that you can give up 2.4 runs per game and lose a series 4-1. And that's why this one hurts. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to the phones. Jeff is in North York, going to lead things off on our last Blue Jays talk of the year. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for taking my call, and thanks a lot for being the voice of the Jays all year, along with Gary and Joe and all the technical guys as well.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to miss coming home from work and, you know, throwing the game on, making dinner, and just having the soundtrack of summer on in the background. It's a sad time. I'm actually down looking out over the lake, you know, just wondering what to think. And I agree with pretty much all of what you said. It's a tough pill to swallow here going out like that. I guess one question that I would ask you, I'm a little young to remember it, but how does this kind of compare to the Jays of the late 80s where they knocked on the door a few times and then they just couldn't quite get there? Do you see any kind of parallel there?
I think, especially because, you know, this team with the 9 free agents and all that stuff, I mean, it's not like it's building. The pitching staff is, obviously, with young guys like Stroman and Sanchez, and Donaldson's going to be here a while. And by the way, Andrew Miller, yes, is the American League Championship Series MVP. He's getting the trophy right now. That is not a surprise to anyone. He was incredible, and he got 8 outs today. We had that sense. You know, this was a young team in 85, or really starting in 82, which was the first year that the Blue Jays didn't finish alone in last place. They actually tied these Cleveland Indians for last place in the AL East in 82. And then you had Bell, Mosby, Barfield. You had these young guys, Steve and Key, and, augmented by Henke later. You had Garcia and Griffin and then Tony Fernandez and all that stuff. And it seemed like that group was growing together. And in 1985, they should have won. They blew the 3-1 lead against Kansas City. They didn't. In 1987, Fernandez gets hurt. Ernie Wick gets hurt. They lose the last 7 games in that epic collapse. It didn't happen then either. But when you think about, like, and your question made me think about 89 and 91 specifically. And in 89, they made the playoffs against Oakland, and they were just completely overwhelmed. They were destroyed by a team that was much better than they were. Ricky Henderson was just dominated that series. So, you know, that certainly doesn't feel like this series did. Maybe 1991, because they played a Twins team that they probably should have beat. I don't remember the specifics of that series other than they lost in 5 and they lost in extra innings in game 5. Tom Candiotti started the opener and refused to throw his knuckleball for some strange reason, and Cito was furious about that, as well he should have been. But maybe this is a little closer to 91, but I think this is the hardest Blue Jays playoff series loss to, not so much to accept, but maybe to compute, because this is a team that has great hitters, like legitimately great hitters, MVPs and home run leaders and all these things. They're not all or nothing guys. They're not. They get on base. They hit home runs. They do all kinds of things well, and yet they lost a series in which they allowed 12 runs. That's what makes this the most difficult thing to compute.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to take. You look back to last year, and when they made that run, it looked like they might never lose again. And it's just like, how can this be the same ball club? How can this be the same hitters? Or, you know, I don't believe that professional hitters are so variable, or that their emotions affect them so much that they can go from lights out hitters to the guys that we saw today. It's really tough to understand. You know, and I feel like I got to go home and read some Roger Angel and, wish that he would eulogize this season for us, because it feels like it needs a little Roger Angel bow to be tied onto it.
Well, go do it. I mean, suck in as much baseball as you can between now and March. There's still going to be a great NLCS and hopefully a very entertaining World Series, some of which we will have on our Sportsnet radio network. But no more baseball in Toronto. There will be lots of eulogies about this series over the coming hours. That's for sure. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. And look, the biggest thing that we have to remember is, A, you got to give credit to the Cleveland pitchers. As much as we want to say the Blue Jays failed in this series, the Blue Jays were beaten in this series. And the Indians had a plan. They executed it, and they executed it very well. You can't just say, hey, everybody, let's stay away, and throw a ton of breaking balls, and all of a sudden that means you're going to succeed. You have to throw strikes. You have to throw good breaking balls, and you have to be able to keep hitters off balance, not fall behind in counts, and not get yourself into trouble and all that kind of stuff. Corey Kluber did it in Game 1. Josh Tomlin was magnificent at it in Game 2. The way Terry Francona ran his bullpen start to finish, but especially in that bullpen game in Game 3, which you would have thought that the Blue Jays had on a silver platter. This was an extraordinarily well-pitched game on both sides, and Cleveland did it a little bit better. We'll continue to take your calls across the network to the bottom of the hour and continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, sportsnet.ca/590, right up until 8 o'clock Eastern time. The Blue Jays lose it 3-0. The season is over. They fall in 5 games in the American League Championship Series, and the Cleveland Indians will host Game 1 of the World Series for the first time in franchise history. They have not won a World Series since 1948. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And the 2-2 pitch, popped up foul, playable. The first baseman, Santana, over. He's under in front of his dugout. He has it, and Cleveland wins it 3-0, and they're going to their first World Series since 1997.
And congratulations to the Cleveland Indians. They completely stymied the Blue Jays, shutting them out in the first game of this series, shutting them out in the last game of the series. The Blue Jays scored 0 runs for Marco Estrada in this series. And the Jays were outscored 12-8 for the 5 games. That's just incredible. It'd be hard to find any 5-game stretch in this season where the Blue Jays didn't score close to 20 runs. And to have both teams combined for 20 in a 5-game series is unbelievable. But then again, the Cleveland Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays were 1-2 in run prevention in the American League this year. There are a lot of fans who are still here. The game ended like almost 40 minutes ago. And there are a lot of fans who are still here waiting for the Blue Jays to come out and say goodbye. No one has yet. I think that, and we're hearing a Let's Go Blue Jays chant now from them in front of the Jays dugout. I think that the Jays wanted to allow Cleveland to celebrate, didn't want to step on them on the field, but they're all back in their clubhouse right now with their champagne bottles and everything. I don't know if we'll see any Blue Jays emerge to say goodbye. It would be nice. We shall see. Jays lose 3-0, shut out twice in this ALCS, and they fall in 5 games. The Indians are going to the World Series. I'm Mike Wilner. This is our last Blue Jays talk of 2016. We're taking your calls. We'll hear from John Gibbons in a second, but back to the phones first. And we go to Eric in Ajax. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Mike. First, I just want to say love this new offseason, you and Jerry and Joe. But I just wanted to reflect on Jose's time here. When he got here, like, he was a write-off guy. He was a nobody. And he hit the second most home runs ever for this franchise. He's been a superstar since the day he got here, home run king, an all-star. Yeah, the bat flip, and during so many crap years with this team where nobody watched, he was out hitting 40, 50 home runs. He was, like, the only bright spot for this team for, like, 5 years. And he got hurt the last couple years. He's been up and down. His average is down, but he still hit home runs. He's a spark plug. He's been a spark plug for years, and I see so much crap on Twitter of people blaming, like, him for not scoring a run today because he said shaking in their boots. Like, him saying that has zero effect on whether they were going to score a run today or not. And it just, like, it makes me sick seeing people, like, booing him, telling him to get out of town when it's the mistreatment of our superstars in every sport we've ever had in this city is so wrong. And some of the stats, I saw David Ortiz a few years ago when everyone was calling him a write-off, and he obviously has had a great finish to his career. I hope wherever Jose chooses to go, and I hope he follows the money because he deserves it and he outplayed his contract. I hope wherever he goes, whether that's here or another city, I hope he rakes, and I hope he finishes his career off strong because he's been treated like garbage here.
Thanks for the call, Eric, and I appreciate the sentiment and the emotion. I don't think it's been that bad. I think you might be getting caught up in the wrong places on social media. There's a group of fans, again, who is still that is still here, and they just did the Jose chant. They're chanting Eddie, Eddie. They want them to come back. Look, Jose Bautista, you're right, was a utility infielder who hit lefties a little bit when he got here. And he was here. He spent eight and a bit seasons as a Blue Jay, and it may not be over, but it may be. And there is no question that Jose Bautista is one of the greatest to ever wear the uniform, one of the greatest Blue Jays in the history of this franchise. He's going up on the level of excellence whenever it's done. Look, he talks, and that's what I personally I love about any athlete that will actually speak his mind and not just spout off idiotic cliches hoping that we'll get tired and go away. I really enjoy that Jose Bautista answers questions honestly. I don't know where he's going to wind up. It's hard to imagine that it's going to be a huge money long-term contract given the year he had and the injuries that he had. But there is no question that he will go down wherever he finishes his career as one of the greatest Blue Jays ever. And he was the only one with two hits in this game for the Jays today. He doubled to lead off that ninth inning and give the Blue Jays life. And Cody Allen finished him off. Thanks for the call. We will continue to take your calls, but I want to hear from the manager for the last time this season. John Gibbons at the podium after leading the Blue Jays to the American League Championship Series in back-to-back seasons. Here's what Gibby had to say about today's 3-0 season-ending loss for the Blue Jays.
Did you have a chance to address your team after the game in the clubhouse, and what was the sentiment that you expressed?
Yes, I did. And, I thanked them for the effort all year. You know, it was a crazy year, some ups and downs. And but one thing I've seen, you guys heard me say it, I mean, it's a special group, you know, and they come to play, you know, and they had another great year. We got to this point. We weren't able to get over the hump again, but you know what? We still get a damn good job getting to this point. So I'm proud of those guys as well as the coaching staff, you know, and I know the organization's proud of them too. And hopefully the fans, you know, are just as proud of them because, you know, it's an entertaining group. They put on a good show. And we just got beat this series. You know, that's it, plain and simple. And, you know, I think Cleveland will be a great representative of the American League.
Jed, there's a good chance maybe you might not have Bautista and Encarnacion next year. When you look at this group and what they've accomplished, how do you put that into words?
Well, yeah, I mean, this group's come a long way. You know, we were, you know, staring at a playoff drought for a lot of years around here, and then they came through for the team last year, I mean, the organization, and then, you know, repeated it this year. And, you know, the guys you're talking about, you know, not only those two, there's a few other guys, possible free agents in there. They've really done a lot for this team. And, you know, the guys in particular, Eddie and Jose, I think you're talking about, that, you know, I think they really, you know, helped put this team back on the map again, you know, what they've accomplished. You know, they really, both of them made their name here in Toronto. And so, you know, but, you know, baseball's still a business, you know, it's a game we play, but it's still a big business, and guys earn the right to, you know, try free agency, what have you. And I know they both love it here, but it's, you know, it is still a business. And, but me personally, you know, if I'm not around them again, you know, I have nothing but great memories, you know, regardless of what they did on the field. You know, they're two good guys, and you know, we spent a lot of time together, me and, of course, the coaching staff and everybody else. So I'm proud of those guys, and, you know, you hope they're back.
Gibby, what did you see in Ryan Merritt today?
Hey, what a great job. You know, he came out there, I thought he just from the get-go, he looked comfortable, confident, and, you know, he picked the plate apart pretty good. You know, I thought he was pretty much living on the edges, at least looked, you know, from my angle, whether he was coming inside or outside. He threw a nice little breaking ball in there, so really he was the key to the game. You know, simply because, you know, I'm sure they didn't know exactly what kind of outing he was going to give them. And I mean, it wasn't an easy assignment for anybody, let alone a guy trying to make it in the game. So, you know, tip your hat to that guy. So, okay. But it was a battle. It was a battle all series. They shut us down, and, you know, now they move on.
Neil.
John, you said before the game that hitting's a bit of a mystery. What do you think happened to the hitting this series? Was it the Cleveland pitching? Simple as that.
Well, no doubt about it, but it's probably a bad time to get into what happened, who did what and who didn't, you know, because, you know, our guys had a tremendous year and they got to this point. And but, you know, if you were watching, you probably saw what happened.
Gabe, you suggested or you mentioned earlier that it's been a crazy season. Can you describe some of the ups and downs that maybe stick out for you over the course of the year on your way here to this game?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it really was a typical season in a lot of ways. You know, I think coming in, everybody expected us just to, you know, finish the season the way we did those last couple months last year. I don't know how realistic that was, but that was what was expected, you know. And there some, you know, some ups and downs along the way. Then we hit our stride probably in the middle of the season. And then, you know, a tough September, and, you know, but they buckled down and got in and you know, had a nice little run in here in the postseason. So those are probably, you know, the obvious things that, you know, I'll let you know. But it's a fun group. It is. And, you know, baseball's a long season. And, you know, so the guy, he deserve a rest. I know that they'll go home and rest up because a lot of guys need it.
Great season, Gibby.
Thank you.
A lot of bumps and bruises over the course of the year. How tough has it been for guys like with Estrada, with his back, Donaldson with his hip?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, they battled through some of those things. I mean, you know, a lot of guys in this league have that. But, you know, I mean, you know, they kept answering the bell and were very productive. Both of those guys had, you know, great seasons. And that's not easy to do, so... But it's, I mean, really, I think baseball is more of a physical grind and mental grind than people actually realize. You know, you're at it every day, and that's not easy to do. And, you know, not a lot of spring chickens out there either, you know, playing. So, but I tip my hat to them, you know, because they made it easy on us because, you know what, every night they came out there and competed. And really, that's all you can ask. Were we good every night? You know, of course not. But, you know, most nights we were. And we were entertaining, I think. I think we're probably an entertaining team to watch, I would think.
John, Richard has one more, and then I'll let you go.
Gibby, getting to the ALCS 2 years in a row is a difficult task. Could you describe the pride that you have in your job and your coach's job, what you've done for 2 years?
Yeah, Richard, you know, it's not easy. You know, you get the – I think really the tough part's getting in. You know, so many good teams out there. You know, we look at in the American League, we look at it all the time. You know, there's really – you know, all the divisions are good and competitive and you know, to stay on top or get close to the top, near the top, you know, it takes a lot. You know, a lot of things got to go your way. You got to get some breaks. You know, got to stay healthy for the most part, and you got to be tough mentally, and that's what we got. And we turned that around last year, got in, repeated that this year. You know, I'm sure there'll be some disappointment, some, you know, grumbling and complaining about how, you know, you fell short again, but. That's not coming from me because, you know, I know what these guys did, and I think it's a pretty good accomplishment. But the key is we want to take that next step, you know, one of these days. Hopefully it's next year. But, you know, these guys, they did a hell of a job.
They sure did. So did John Gibbons. The Blue Jays fall 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians. They lose the American League Championship Series 4-1. And we'll continue to take your calls. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Goodbye, Sportsnet Radio Network. The Blue Jays fall 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians. We will continue our Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership for the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Tom Young, all our producers and all our technical directors, today it was Jeff Azzopardi and Dylan Brown. I'm Mike Wilner. See you in the spring.
One pitch slugged to right field deep, and just looking is Bautista to see how far it's going to go, halfway up into the 100 level. And Carlos Santana, who hit 34 home runs during the regular season, has hit a home run here in the third, and Cleveland out in front 2-0.
And that would be more than enough, though. Coco Crisp would add a home run in the fourth. And from that Crisp home run in the fourth to the leadoff double by Francisco Lindor in the ninth, the Blue Jays, Marco Estrada, Brett Cecil, and Joe Biagini retired 16 Cleveland Indians in a row. And then Asuna got the three after. What went unnoticed in this American League Championship Series is the Blue Jays bullpen had an ERA of 0. The problem is the Blue Jays bullpen only had one lead to protect at any point in time in this five-game series, and that's why Cleveland's bullpen gets highlighted so much more, even though they actually gave up a couple of runs. Andrew Miller was the ALCS MVP. Blue Jays lose it 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians. We were hard on time at the bottom of the hour there when I signed off the network. We're continuing to take your calls until 8 o'clock. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. But really, this is an incredible team effort that goes well beyond just Jerry and Joe and me. And everybody deserves to be acknowledged. So if you'll grant me a second, I'll do that now. Tom Young is our on-site engineer and producer. And Tom Young worked every single game in spring training, worked every single game during the regular season, every single game during the playoffs. He is the only one of us who can say that. Nobody else did every game, and he's done it every game, every year. And without him, I say without him, we are nothing. I say it all the time, and it means just as much every single time I say it. Without Tom Young, we are absolutely nothing. Our program director at Sportsnet 590 The Fan is Dave Cadeau. The assistant program director is Jason Rozon, who is sitting beside me right now, who is a constant presence on our broadcast. And they are both incredible helps to us in helping us do what we do and bring you Blue Jays baseball all the time. Producers of this show, Jeff Azzopardi is doing it today. Josh Goldberg, Mark Boffo did the lion's share of the games this season. Most of the heavy lifting to those two terrific young guys. Thank them so much for doing that. Maria Saint-Aubin, probably third on the list of games done. We also had Mike Cesney. We also had Matt Marchese, J.D. Bunkus, John Reed. Thanks to all of them, the producers who are, you think I'm the first responder to Blue Jays calls after the game. It's those people who are the first responders. They take your calls and make sure that the decent ones, will say, get through on Blue Jays Talk. All our operators. Dylan Brown started the game today. Vikram Paladian is on the board right now. Also, Ryan Clark, Emil Delich, Tom Raminski, Dylan Brown, Lance Kennedy have done a lot of our games this year. And again, thanks so much to everyone who had a hand in helping to bring you Blue Jays baseball in 2016. Here's hoping that next year, with this pitching staff intact, with at least Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Pilar, Russ Martin, Devin Travis back here, that the Blue Jays can take that next step. But it's going to be a very, very difficult thing. Reaching the American League Championship Series 2 years in a row is an incredible achievement. Hard to see now because of the way this ended, but an incredible achievement. All right. Back to the phones. Lee is in Waterloo. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Mr. Mike. Let me just be the first to applaud what you just said about all the staff that are involved behind you, including yourself, as to the job that you guys do and how hard it is, because I've been on the edge of it, so I've got a pretty good idea of how difficult it is to knock it off every day, every show, that you guys do to make things happen, and I applaud you all for that.
Well, thank you. I'm not looking for, hey, this is really hard on me. It's not.
No, it's a dream come true. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Right. Everybody else is working their tails off all year long. So
exactly. That's what I'm getting at. So yeah,
absolutely.
I'm agreeing with you, basically. With regards to the Jays, there's going to be a lot of people, fans out there, that are just like, how could they let this happen? Well, you know, it's incredibly difficult to get two seasons into a playoff of any kind of sport, no matter what it is. But it's been said a lot, and it's understandable that baseball is very unpredictable. It's a very difficult sport to be the ultimate performer in, and you can use that as last year the Royals took it, and where did they line up today? Like, it didn't happen for them this year. But we were here again this year. You got to give a lot of effort or appreciation to what AA did, because he started the ball rolling last year, and that's where all the excitement started, and it carried on through this year. I would hope that the management would not let Edwin go or Bautista. Bautista has He's a very open person with his comments and stuff like that. But you know something? That's refreshing. And there's nothing about this guy to think that he's like, what did he mean by that? Like when he says something, there's nothing to question about it. It's right there.
Yeah, that's
I thought
sure.
that the team did a great, wonderful effort. And Francona was kind of, you know, if the tables was turned and a Blue Jay manager, I'm not saying that it would be Gibby, but if a Blue Jay manager would have brought out a kid that this would be his second showing in the major leagues for a playoff position, everybody would have been freaking out in Toronto. But I'm wondering what's happening in Cleveland with that, what that notion was at that point in time when it was said that Merritt was going to be coming out. It's kind of crazy, but whatever it was, and it panned out. We were better on paper, but that's one of those intangibles. That's one of those things that, you know, everything looks good on paper on one side, but that's the wonderful thing about baseball. You just never know. You can do your best, and you might think this, that, or the other thing, and it doesn't pan out. But, you know, we've been there twice. Third time's a charm. And I would hope, like I said, that we obviously need some left batters. I don't know what we're going to give up or how we're going to go about getting them, but at the expense of having Bautista, Bautista had a rough year this year with his injuries. I think that if that wasn't the case, that it might have been something different in the playoffs for him personally, and maybe that could have been something that brought us over the edge. I don't know.
Could have been. Lee, I'm going to stop you right there. I appreciate the call. I got a lot of guys to get to, so I can't let anybody go like 3 or 4 minutes. You had a lot to say there. Most of it, very good stuff. And look, it's a tough way to lose. And the Ryan Merritt thing, that's the luxury that you have when you're up 3-1 and you have no pitching. You can give the ball to a guy like Ryan Merritt, and if he gets his ears pinned back, you still got 2 games at home. Doesn't matter. But he was tremendous today. And he kept the Blue Jays off balance. And, you know, just like last year against Kansas City, you wonder if the series would have been different with a healthy Brett Cecil. Would this series have been different with a healthy Devin Travis? With the Blue Jays' offense doing almost nothing, their only 300 hitter was unavailable because of the knee thing that's going to require surgery. Should be fine for spring training. Larry is in Thornhill. Hey, Larry.
Hi. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. You got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I guess I'm hurt, and I am upset to see our Blue Jays lose, but I can honestly say the year was pretty positive. Our team outlasted Baltimore and Boston, leaders in the AL East. Even though no World Series, we are leaders, and only 2 teams get there, and only 1 team wins it. It isn't easy, and you can just ask the Cubs. We observed all our great fans across Canada and Seattle, coming from Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC. We see our fans filling up the Cleveland seats. The Jays unified Canada. It was amazing. Maybe we should consider calling this team the Canadian Blue Jays of Toronto. Thumbs up to the entire team. JD, Jose, Edwin's leadership, phenomenal hitting, Martin's catching, working with these young pitchers, Pillars, outstanding fielding, and seeing Carrera, who is a real gamer, was a great surprise, along with all the other guys. And I think Gibby demonstrated confidence in his team, which is very, very important. I think he did a great job, and he should be back. And finally, in my humble opinion, it isn't that our offense let us down in any way. Stretch your imagination. This team is amazing, but we got to see what was beyond amazing was pitching. And pitching is the game. That's the game. That's why I stay home and watch my TV to watch that pitch. You can't see it from third base. You can't see it from first. And that is where 99% of the game is played. And with Cleveland and Francona with 3 starters out, and to take this game the way they did was great. And even though we got the short end of the stick, we as fans are so fortunate to see excellent baseball, ending with the kid in his first playoff game taking a command position. We are really, really lucky. And I think there's something very positive we can take out of this. And then finally, there's a guy that nobody seems to mention, and his name is, they call him Captain Video. That's what Cliff Johnson called him. And that's a guy named Robert Bomander, who's done the video work for the Blue Jays for 38 years, and I think he should be acknowledged as well.
Sure, why not? And you just did. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate the call and all those points. The frustrating part of it is, again, that they got beat by the kid. and they got beat in a bullpen game, in a game where the Cleveland Indians needed 25 outs from their bullpen. The Blue Jays managed 2 runs. And in a game that was started by a guy with 11 innings pitched in the major leagues, a non-prospect, the Blue Jays got shut out. So I think that's where the frustration is. You're right, pitching is where the game starts. You just don't expect to get that kind of pitching in those situations. And that's what makes you wonder, did the bats fail or not? But look, one of the 4 teams left standing. There are 26 other cities that would love to be in a position to have their hearts broken in the American League Championship Series. In the League Championship Series. John in Toronto, you're next.
Yes, even though we're one of 4 teams standing, I mean, let's just say it the way it is. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars.
I'm not getting paid millions of dollars.
Okay,
not
you're not.
Close.
All these guys like Martin, it's a disgrace. Like, what the hell this guy did this year is just complete disgrace.
Yeah, 20 home runs from your catcher, who's one of the best pitch framers in the game, is awful.
Well, look, we have to say the way it is. Number one, first game, second and third, 1 out. You think we'd have a manager with some guts that would go to Batista and say, can you please bunt this guy in? I mean, the guy is clueless. He's got no guts. He can't stand up to anybody and do what's right. In the playoffs, you're supposed to get a run in no matter what. Not let these guys play and do whatever the hell they want.
Okay, John, I'm going to stop you right there because you talk about how we need to tell it like it is and then you come up with this complete nonsense. So, no. No. You can be angry if you want to be angry. Fine. The Blue Jays did not lose this series because Jose Bautista didn't bunt with runners at second and third in the first inning of Game 1. And if John Gibbons had asked Jose Bautista to bunt with runners at second and third in the first inning of Game 1, then John Gibbons should have been fired because that would have been a galactically stupid move to make. Let's move on. Ed in Etobicoke. Hey, Ed.
Yeah, it's no time to be picking on the players. I'm sure they did the best that they tried their best. And we don't know how much they've been dinged. But I got a lot to say, and I'll try to get it through as fast as possible.
Okay.
When Shapiro took over, he let AA go.
Shapiro.
He brought in Ross Atkins.
Shapiro took over and AA left. Let's just make the...
All right, that's fine.
All right.
Then he didn't offer to price. I was kind of skeptical about these guys and what they were all about. But I have to say, you know, I have to acknowledge and give them credit for putting a good team on the field. I didn't think any of the moves they made were that great at the time, but they deserve a lot of credit for that. Edwin, I heard Edwin say after his home run in the wild card game that he would love to come back here and whatever. And I know your friends that you were on in the morning with today, Brent and Blair, the sports geniuses, kind of put cold water on that, saying that he's likely going to take a better offer somewhere else.
First of all, Brent is a certifiable genius. I have to tell you that.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think they're geniuses either. But
Brent is an actual genius, and Jeff Blair knows his stuff.
Okay, you know them more than I do. So.
Yeah, they're both wonderful people, and know what they're talking about.
I think Edwin will come back if they don't kind of lowball him. I think he'll come back. As far as yourself goes, you and Joe did some great games down the stretch, and I hope they expand your role because I love the way that. When you depict a call and you say crush, it just adds so much to the broadcast. And let's not forget Terry Francona. He's a terrific manager. He's won almost everywhere he's gone. I think. He's been in Boston, Cleveland, as far as I know. I don't think
Philadelphia first else, didn't win there, but that's okay.
He didn't win in Boston?
Philadelphia. He was in Philadelphia first.
I don't remember that. So
yeah.
He took a club with pretty much no celebrities on it, and he found a way to win today. And he pulled a rabbit out of the hat. And he's always pretty much done a good job with managing and all that. And as disappointed as I might be, Mike, this might not be received too well by some people. As disappointed as I might be that the Jays lost, my disappointment would be rather mitigated if this were the last broadcast that Jerry did. Okay, have a good winter.
Okay, thank you. I don't know what you meant there at the end. and I'm not going to address it. Jerry is absolutely coming back next year. I appreciate that you want my role to be expanded. I took that as a compliment. Now I'm not so sure. Jerry's not going anywhere. So he will roll very easily into year 36 next season. As far as Edwin coming back, look, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to lowball him, but I do think that maybe the Boston Red Sox are going to overwhelm him. And if they come at Edwin with 5 and 115 or something like that, I don't think the Blue Jays are in that ballpark. Not because they can't afford it, but because it becomes a point in time where it's just not a good business decision. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the offseason. We know Edwin wants to stay. And he had a phenomenal year this year, and he played 160 games this year, played a lot of first base. So we shall see what happens. Blue Jays, season is over. They lost 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians, falling in 5 in the ALCS. Rich is in Windsor. Hello, Rich.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, is there any reason why we didn't pinch run for Navarro?
Yeah, there's a lot of reason why they didn't pinch run for Navarro in the 8th inning.
Why?
A, he's your DH. Two, it's 3-0, so his run doesn't mean anything. And three, the only way it bites you is if Kevin Pillar hits a ground ball in the exact spot where it's a bang-bang play at second base.
Yeah, but you
not the best use of your assets.
You pinch run for him. You bring Pompey.
Right, and then you don't have Pompey to pinch run for Edwin in the ninth.
You just bring in Smoke.
Huh?
If he comes up the bat again, you bring in Smoke if you don't want Navarro to bat. Right?
Well, yeah, but that's not your best use of Pompey.
But Pompey would have been safe at second.
Yes, Pompey would have been safe at second. You're right.
Yeah.
Only in that circumstance where Kevin Pillar hits a ball right there, which the percentages of that happening are exceedingly low.
That's the way the series was going.
No.
The whole series, just crap luck.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So if you pinch run Pompey, then Pillar hits a laser at the shortstop that's an easy double play.
Wow. Yeah, but you got to account for what happens, because that's the crap that's been going on. I've been watching every second. I've been there every second.
But you can't.
It's crazy.
You can't manage for. No. Thank you for the call, Rich. No. No. I know there were a lot of people going nuts about why didn't Dalton Pompey run for DeAndre Navarro in the eighth inning. Dalton Pompey didn't run for DeAndre Navarro in the eighth inning because it was a bad idea to have Dalton Pompey run for DeAndre Navarro in the eighth inning. A, you need him potentially in the ninth if Edwin Encarnacion gets on base, maybe even for Jose Bautista if the game is closer, or for Russell Martin if he's the tying run. And you can't manage for these tiny, tiny, tiny percentage scenarios. It's not the same as not using Zach Britton, because Zach Britton is your best pitcher in a tie game. In extra innings, you're not using him. Dalton Pompey is your best runner off the bench, not using him for a guy on first when you're down 3-0 in the eighth inning is not at all saving for a better chance that may never happen, because that's not a good place to use him. It's not. And I know it's hard to understand for a lot of people, but the only way it helps, and you don't pinch run at first base to stay out of the double play. Because the only way you stay out of the double play is if Kevin Pillar hits a ball exactly like he hit it. Because if there's a double play ball that's even close to routine, that runner at first is out no matter how fast he is. It's the back end guy who has to be fast to stay out of the double play. Ben is somewhere in Nova Scotia. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. Where in Nova Scotia are you?
Glace Bay, Cape Breton.
Very nice. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, first-time caller. Obviously, I'm disappointed, sad, angry, all those emotions. But just thinking about the season they had. They had a great season. You look back at the wild card game at Edwin's walk-off and Donaldson's score on an error by Odor. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better ending to the Texas series. So.
Yep.
You know, just looking back at the year they had, it was a great year. I've been a fan since. So probably 83, 84, somewhere around there I started watching. And, I mean, this was one of the most exciting years I've seen. And, you know, it was a great year. And I'm excited about next year. They still, I believe they still have, other than Dickey, they have all their starting pitching back next year.
Everybody's back.
Yeah. And that's
Osuna's back, Grilly's back, Biagini's back. Yeah, there's a lot of pitching that's back for the Blue Jays this year, the team that had the second-best ERA in the American League this season.
Yeah, that's it. And, I mean, that's what you want to build a team around. And hopefully they can hold on to someone that maybe – I was just going to see if you could maybe use your considerable influence and pull some strings at Rogers and get them to sign Edwin for next year.
I have no influence as far as string pulling is concerned at Rogers.
It was worth a shot.
Look, if Edwin wants to come back for a reasonable amount of time and money, the Blue Jays would love to have him back, I think. But if there's a, like I said earlier, if there's a team that's going to just blow him out of the water as far as an offer goes with years and money, I don't think the Blue Jays will be dancing there. Thank you, Ben. I want to get to as many calls as possible before we go. Our final Blue Jays talk of 2016. Sean is in Burlington. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mike. How's it going tonight?
All right. Go ahead.
Man, I can't say how proud enough I am of this team. The emotional roller coaster ride that we've had all year round ended off, and obviously not the way we wanted it, but hey, we got to the postseason. There were four teams in the postseason. We were the only one to repeat getting this far in the last year.
Yep.
Silly little question. I already got my 2017 Flex Pack tickets for next year. Can't wait for opening day already. It's 165 days away, and I'm counting the days.
Wow.
So the simple question I got for you is, do they traditionally unveil any kind of ALDS or wildcard banner to celebrate that the team did make an accomplishment this year?
I don't know. You know what? That's a really good question. And the Blue Jays have never made the playoffs without winning their division before, so we've never had to deal with this. I mean, you would sort of like to commemorate it. It's not. This was a really nice playoff run. They were one of the final four teams, and you know, the amazing win against Baltimore and the amazing win over Texas. I don't know. Do you put up a banner that says 2016 American League Wild Card? Or I don't think you put ALDS champ, because there isn't an ALDS champ, because there are two. That's an interesting question for the Blue Jays. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of other teams who have gotten this far and lost without winning their division who have hung some sort of banner, but I honestly don't know what it would be. So, the year deserves to be commemorated somehow. There should be another banner up there. I just have no idea what it would say.
Well, whatever they end up doing, I got to thank them for the great year we had. Too bad it didn't go our way all the way, but, hey, 2017 is right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. It'll be here before we know it. Thank you, Sean.
Time for a couple more. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Time for a couple more calls. Steve is in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Just want to let you know that I think you guys are fantastic on the radio. It's a pleasure to turn off the television when the Americans are doing it. You guys are great. I have one and only one question for you.
Hit me.
And I didn't realize. I think your producer gave me the answer, but I didn't hear it. I sure as hell hope Gibby comes back. He gets a lot of heat. I think he's a terrific manager. I would have loved to have had a manager like him manage me. What's your gut feel? Pick 10. Where's he? Is it an 8? Is he a 9? Is he going to come back? Or do you think Shapiro is going to want his own man? What's your gut?
No, I think it's a 17. I think Mark Shapiro has actually said that John Gibbons is coming back next year.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, you cannot fire a manager who takes a team to the American League Championship Series 2 years in a row, especially when he's a very good manager. And Mark Shapiro is a lot of people think a lot of things about Mark Shapiro in Toronto, mostly wrong. One thing Mark Shapiro is absolutely not is dumb. He's not gonna let John Gibbons go.
No, you always hear about new management come in, and you know, we didn't get to the final circus. They want their own man, and that's what concerns me. I think Gibby did a hell of a job. I really like the guy as a manager.
I do,
and,
too.
And kudos to the job that you guys do again. You guys are fantastic, and Joe's coming back, I hope.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Joe's coming back. I don't think there are any plans to not have Joe back next year. Joe's back. Jerry's back. We're all back.
Well, you guys do a phenomenal job, and thanks for a great season, Mike.
All right, thank you. Nobody's told me whether I'm back or not. I hope I'm back.
I'll pull for you. I got zilch pull at the fan, but
that's just
it.
About about as much as I do, Steve. Thank you. I got one more before we go. Josh in Toronto, you're going to be the last one.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to tell you that I'm really going to miss hearing you on Jay's Talk for the next 8 months.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss me too. I kind of like being on the radio every day. It's very weird when it just all stops like that.
I'm sure. I can't believe the composure that you show with the majority of Jay's fans that call.
Well, you know, passion sometimes overrides logic, and as much as my producers and I are the first responders, so this is where people go to vent. But I think it's really what's really interesting is if you go back and listen to every Blue Jays talk that we did this year. I don't expect anybody to actually do that, but the archives are there on iTunes. There wasn't a single game that the Blue Jays played this year that a lot of people didn't think they should have won. Out of the 77 losses that they suffered this year, I think the Blue Jays talk after every one of those losses, the Jays should have won those games. And that's a testament to how good this team is that we actually expected that. Every time they stepped on the field, they would win the game. And look how far they got. To the American League Championship Series. It ends here, unfortunately, and the Blue Jays season is done. Thank you, Steve, for the call. Thanks for all the callers. Thanks to those of you to whom we could not get. We appreciate this. I will be back for Game 1 of the World Series, which is Tuesday, in Cleveland. I won't be in Cleveland, but we'll have chances to take calls, and maybe we'll have a couple of Blue Jay a Day pregame shows if the Jays are willing for the first couple of games of the World Series, if we can get anybody after they've shaken this loss off. Thanks everyone for a wonderful season. We appreciate your listening more than you know, your engagement on Twitter as well. It's a tough way for it to end, but it ends with only three other teams still alive in the postseason. The Blue Jays lose 3-0 to the Cleveland Indians. For Tom Young, Vikram Paladian, Jeff Azzopardi, and everybody else who has a hand in this, I'm Mike Wilner. Thank you so much for listening. 2017, not that far away.